And this is our group coaching call for the month of June 2016. And what we're about to look at is a little more of Trello. And what I am going to do quickly, so this is a blank, fresh Trello board that just has a couple things in it, our blank Trello account. And one of the things that I'm going to create, and I waited to create this so that you guys could see it, I am going to create a family. We just lost somebody. Okay, so I'm going to create a family. And in the process, I wanted to wait for that so that you guys could see in case you didn't necessarily remember how to do this part. So in Trello, we have all these different boards, and then we have different teams, okay? So it's a team I'm going to create, not a family. So this My Boards is a team. Here it allows me to create a new team down here, or by this button here, I can create a team. And it can be a personal team or a business team. And we had talked at the training a couple weeks ago how a personal team is what you use if you don't have the paid business account. So this is going to be a personal team. So I'm going to create the team. And in my different boards here, before I do that, I just want to show you, we're going to use some of the samples that Karen and I created the other day. I'm going to use those as samples. And you can see there's Be Well stuff in here. There's daily tasks. There's Karen's self-care. There's relationship management. And I also have some sales stuff that I've been doing for Stacy that I was going to share too. Don't think there's anything confidential in there. So, Stacy, if you're not comfortable with that, let me know. I asked Karen before, but I didn't get to ask you. And then this is the welcome board that comes with Trello. So one of the things, if these were my boards, I would want to create a team for my clients. And then I would come back here to all of my boards. And thank you, Stacy. I just saw your comment, but that's fine. I appreciate that. Come back here to my boards. And since Stacy is one of my clients that I'm helping with the sales appointments, I am going to come here. And on this little show menu, I'm going to go to More. And I am going to go to Settings. And I'm going to change. I can't change the team because I don't own it. Karen and I ran into this the other day. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to move it over to the team I just created, but it's not going to let me do that because I created the board in my actual account and then shared it here, so it's not going to let me do that. But had I have done that, that board would have come down here, and now it would be showing over here. But one of the things I can do is, because I'm using this quite often as I'm making calls for Stacy, I can go like that, and now it's up here. So now I can see it more frequently because it's a starred board. And it's not going to let me change these for Karen's either because those are owned by Karen. So had it not have been that way, I could have hit that button and it would have come down here. So as you're creating yours, you can do that and put them into your own team so that you separate them. Because how I would have wanted them separated is I would have wanted Stacy's down here because she's one of my clients. Then I would have wanted my own personal board or my family board to put the self-care stuff. And then these other three things are my own business stuff that I'm working on. So I would have had three different teams. I'll show that as a sample later and send that out as a separate little recording because that'll be part of the training I normally do so you guys will have access to that. But let's get into what I did with Karen. So Karen, as she mentioned, she had tons of different boards, and as we looked at them, we combined them so that what she has now is four boards. So it's much more simple, and they're categorized by what they are. So one of the boards is her self-care, and she has a daily morning routine, and then she has her monthly self-care that she tries to do. So you can see in here how she can come into her self-care and she can immediately see what the things are that she does. And then she's reminded, she can have extra notes in here about that too. her esthetician is Beatrice. So the way Karen had set this up before, which seemed to be more complicated, was she had a board that said monthly self-care, and then in here she had a list that said esthetician, and under esthetician she had the person's name, Beatrice. So that was like two boards for these things. And then she had a board that said daily morning routine, and touchstone was a list, daily word was a list, or actually these might have all been in here. But it became kind of complicated. So this is more simple because all of her self-care is in one place. So when she's thinking about herself and things to do for herself, she can go to that one place. The other one that was really cool that we did a lot of work with, and this is where I wanted to show you a lot more detailed stuff, these were her projects. So she had a board on her meditations, and she had another board on eye pillows and things like that. What we did is we looked at each of them, and we came in here and we said, okay, we're talking about a meditation here. What is your workflow for meditation? So when we came to the first project and we knew it was meditation, we came in here and we looked at the workflow. And the first thing that she does is she writes the script. And then here's all her different steps. The second thing, in that, for the guided meditation, these are pretty much all of her her things that are involved, including the newsletter. So it's not all just writing the script, because here's the script. So this actually should be titled differently. I'll just call it guided meditation checklist. But when we first started it, all that was there was the script stuff, and then we put them all in here. But the cool thing is, every time that Karen wants to do a meditation, she comes in here, and she can go to copy, because, again, we got this in the workflow. So this is the workflow for every time she has an idea for a new meditation. So the idea comes into her head, and she says, oh, I want to do a meditation on resting. So resting guided meditation. And she's going to put it in her projects. And the list that she wants it on is future project, because it's just an idea in her head. She's not doing anything with it now. So she creates the card. And now she comes over here, and it's part of her future project. So that thing that was in her head is no longer in her head. It's now here, and she doesn't have to worry later about, oh, what are all the steps that I do? Because she knows all the steps, because every time she does a guided meditation, it's the same steps, and she created a workflow. Now later, when it's time to do that guided meditation, she's going to slide that over here, and it's going to be one of her current projects. And that's how she's going to do that. So really easy to be able to move that over. And then once she works on that project, she can come in, she can check off all the things she's doing as she does them. And when everything is all totally checked off, she can take it and she can put it by her completed project. She can also, like this one she's already finished, she can put the due date. When does she want to have that done? And then she can have that in here, and you can see she did 9 of 9 things. So her therapy ball video she's working on, she thought, okay, I want to do that by August 1st. But she's not currently working on it. It's just an idea. However, this one here, she is currently working on, and she wants to have that one done by July 1st. So for each of the things that she had all these separate boards for, we went through, and Karen, I am going to delete this so that you're not confused later that you're doing a meditation that you're not, but we went through and we created a checklist for it. So her therapy video, we got that by copying this. And you can see when she works on a video, here's all the things she does. We got a little more complicated as we went down. For instance, when she's developing products, the first thing she has to do is create the product. Then we added another checklist, because then she has to identify where she's going to distribute it. Then we added another checklist, because then she has to decide where she's going to promote it. So we separated those checklists. Now, we could have did those with the ones in the beginning, too, but since we were starting, it hadn't evolved to that yet. And we can always go back and change those if Karen wants to. Same thing with her packages. She's always going to do these things when she starts developing a package. Then she's going to identify who some power partners can be for that package, and then she's going to promote it. So every time there's a new package idea, all she has to do is hit copy, and then she comes in there. So really, we're using this in the same way that you would a project management software in this case. And we're putting all her stuff about her projects in here so that it's all in one place. So that's the project. Now, when she starts working on something and she's working on one of these steps, that can then be pulled over to her daily tasks. So these we were kind of starting to work on a little bit, but, you know, are there phone calls? And does she want to call Johnny? And does she want to call Mary? These are the people she's going to call. Or are there things she's doing at her computer or her desk? And that's what we talked about during the training. And then there's some daily stuff she wants to start doing. But then with the calls, once they're completed or a message is left, she can move them. So over here, she's going to call Johnny. And then she left a message, or she actually made the call and it's completed, and they can just slide around there. Now, Johnny and Mary both came from this relationship management board. So in the relationship management board, here's Mary and here's Johnny. We didn't want to forget that they are still potential clients for Be Well, even though we were making phone calls. So what we did was, we came in here and we copied them. So I'm going to do that with Sally here. I'm going to copy Sally to my daily business task board and to phone calls because I want to make a phone call to Sally, create the card. And now if I get out of here, Sally is still here, but Sally's also going to be in my daily task. And I didn't lose her from the other area. I still know that she's one of the ones who is a potential Be Well client. Then these are potential clients for Karen's oil part of the business. Once she has new clients, current clients, past clients, if Sally, the phone call went really well for her, it was completed, now she's a new client. And now we're done with all her new client stuff. Now she's simply a current client. She's not new anymore. And now she's not a client anymore. Now she's a past client, and we can put her over there. So Sally can move down our whole workflow, and she can. There's partners in here, and there can be a workflow for each of these. So, you know, here's what happens with past clients right now. That's the one step that's been built in. As we said before, there's only so much we can do after we go through a program, and here's some of the things for a new client. So when Sally all of a sudden becomes a new client, we can copy this checklist. So let's say Sally's over here, and Sally was a potential client. Now she's new. And now I know I want to do new client stuff with her. So I'm going to open up Sally. I'm going to go to checklist, and I'm going to add a checklist, and I'm going to add the new client checklist. And now it's all right in here. And then when Sally all of a sudden is a past client, I'm going to come in, checklist, add the inactive client checklist. And now here that is. And I can rename this each time it comes in, like I could have said, past client checklist. New client checklist. Okay? So Sally can move down and we can continue to use these workflows. Workflows are awesome, you guys. The really cool thing, you know, when you realize that you're doing something over and over and over again, put it into a workflow and then you can copy it every time you have a new thing. So those are really cool. The other thing I want to show you then, so that's all the stuff that we did for Karen. So a project comes into her head or people come into her head that she wants to manage, and she plops them. If they're people, they're in her relationship board. If they're projects, they're in the project board. And then they both get moved over to daily tasks as there's something that needs to be done with them. So that's kind of how that goes. And then things get moved to your calendar, too. We talked about that during the training. So that's kind of a good workflow between those four boards, and I wanted to share that with you guys because I really think when you're starting, that's probably all you need, a board for your projects, a board for the people that you're trying to manage, a board for your daily things that you're doing, and a board for your own personal stuff, because we need to build our own personal stuff in too. So those four things should take care of everything. And within this relationship one and within the project one, as you see things you're doing consistently, creating those workflows. So then as you grow and something becomes more specialized and becomes bigger, that's when you add boards. So for Stacy's appointments, as I started making calls for Stacy's appointments, I added that board here. Now, at this point, I want to stop for a second. Yes, I can definitely share these boards, Michelle. It'll be part of the training I do tonight, and as I do, I will share those into the sample so that you guys have them. I'm going to be cleaning all of that up for you guys. So, yeah. If you have a question before I go on to show you the sales board, because I know I just brain dumped a lot on you guys and this can be overwhelming, I'm going to stop and pause for a second so that anyone who has a question about something I did can ask that question. Unmute yourself and ask. Okay. I am going to take that as no questions, so that's good. And I am going to continue then, and I will keep my eye on the chat thing in case somebody does have a question. So in the sales appointment, so like I said, this need started becoming bigger for me to track all these calls. So Stacy had Isaiah find a list of 100 different places in the area. I think it's up to maybe 140 almost now. And I started calling them and asking if I can come in and spend 15 minutes showing them Stacy's sample. And in the process, it became overwhelming because we have the big spreadsheet that I was making the calls from. And then I wanted to be able to, especially I love using Trello on my phone, you guys. So if I'm out and I happen to have 5 minutes in between meetings to make a phone call, I can easily click this little board here and I can find someone quick to make a phone call to and know everything. Now, I can do that with the sheet as well because I have the Sheets app on my phone, but it's easier to find here than on the spreadsheet. So what happened then is as I called people, I put them on different boards. So there was a list of people that I called, and there was one person, this person here, the appointment was scheduled. And so I put her on the appointment scheduled thing. And what I put next to her on the appointment scheduled was I put when the appointment was. And it was yesterday. So that I could see this. Now I'm going to cut this for a minute because I want to show you what this looks like. So yesterday when I looked in my board and I got ready to go to the appointment, I was able to touch the little button on my phone, pull this up, remember that the lady's name was Julie, and it was on my calendar that it was Julie too, but I was able to kind of see, okay, this is the background, refresh my memory a little bit, and then see any notes that were on there, okay? So when I was done, she was really excited. She does want to have Stacy's stuff in the store, but she doesn't want to do it until probably the fall. So I took the 615 off because that's no longer relevant to me. And I added that. And now I moved it over here. And now when I'm taking a quick look at any of this, and I really don't care that I visited this person and they want to send an order later, so this is actually going to be pushed to the end of the list because these are people I'll check up on every once in a while. I don't want to see them necessarily. I want to see the people whose appointments I have scheduled right away and the people who I'm calling back or I left messages for or I sent an email. So this person here, I sent an email, and this is a great example of continuing to use it in a workflow. So I had, this person was first over here. I called, and I needed to call back. So this person was over here. And I, so you can see, called on 613. Then, and when I called on 613, you can see in the notes down here, I spoke to someone on 613. She told me the buyer wasn't there. She said she'll be in the next day, and right after opening is the best time to call. Great. So I called the next day. Now I spoke to a person. This person's name happened to be Joan. I don't know why I felt the need to remember that. I think because Joan was a little like, she was really a guard for this person, so I wanted to remember Joan's name. But she told me that the best way to get to Monica, because this person here told me the buyer's name was Monica. So what I did then when I called on this day, I said, oh, is Monica there? Trying to act like I knew Monica. Joan didn't fall for that, so I wanted to remember Joan's name. And she was, you know, well, why are you calling? Have you talked with her before? So she told me the best thing to do would be to email her the product line, and if she's interested, she'll contact us. And then she said, once I email her, then call up and say that I had sent an email. So I kept notes on that, and then I did email her. And any information I knew, because she said, call first thing when you open. So I went and I found the hours, and I put them in here so I would know first thing when they open. Then yesterday I got an email, so I sent the email and I moved it to the email sent. Now yesterday I got an email from Monica, and Monica said the stuff is really, really cute and adorable, but it doesn't seem to be the right age bracket for the stuff they have in their children's section, so they would pass. Okay, that's fine. I know, though, that Stacy is offering some new things that are coming in. The age probably wouldn't change, of course, so it may be the same answer. But for some people who say it's not really good right now, I know there's some Christmas stuff coming out and things like that, or maybe some maybe they're not interested in cards. I had one person say that, but they might be interested if she has magnets later or something like that. They don't tell me that, but I can sense that, so I want to remember them. So I have a couple different ones. This person's probably a definite no, so I would create a new list, and this just happened yesterday, so I haven't had a chance to get this yet, but no, probably will, I'm not spelling that right, probably always no, and then no may change. Could change. And that's just my opinion. That's not something they're telling me, but I like to categorize them that way for when I'm going back and when I'm calling. So this person is a no, and it probably will always be no because of what she had said. And that being said, they could change what they carry in their store. So you never give up in terms of sales on those kinds of things. So anyway, some other people that called, you can see I put those in there, and we're just moving people. So these are all going to be similar things. The workflow, that's what I wanted to show you guys. So if there's a new wholesale project, these are all the different things that need to happen. So every one of these cards that you guys are seeing over here, whether it's this one or this one or this one, I started all of these cards with this same workflow. I didn't have to type all this stuff. So I got off the call. I had a little spreadsheet printed out. I had notes written on it. And then I took about a half hour to enter the stuff. Now, that's the kind of stuff, as my business continues to grow, I will take a picture of that sheet and give it to my assistant and she'll enter that stuff. But at this point in time, it was me entering it. But I came into the new wholesale project sheet, and I hit copy. And then I just put in the name of the place. And then I put which board it needed to go on based on what they had said, if it was an appointment scheduled or if they needed to call back. That's where I put it, and then it shows up over there. So this has been great. As I did mention to Stacy, you know, with her list of 100 different contacts and more than 100, and pulling it from that Excel sheet to over here, and then at some point these people, the ones we want to stay in contact with, they should really go into our MailChimp list so that we can keep more detailed notes on these people in there and communicate with them through MailChimp. So there becomes a point where that's way too much because your business is starting to grow and to be such a volume. And at that point, you need to start thinking of project management software or CRM software. And the software Shauna mentioned earlier that she recently started using, it is project management software. So that's the kind of stuff that as you start getting bigger. But until you are totally at that bigger point and you have the money to invest in it or the time to invest in figuring out how to use it and setting it up, this is a great way to do that and a great way to grow into it. And I love it because it integrates with all the family stuff. I mean, I showed you guys, we're doing my son's graduation party, and I have a whole list of here's the food, and here's the invitations, and here's the people we're inviting, and here's the thank yous we got out. So there's so many ways that it integrates between my life and my business, and it's right on my phone all the time. I can do it in the computer, so I love it. But I just like to mention that as your business really starts to grow, there's a point to where a lot of this stuff here that we're managing makes sense in a CRM. So more in a project management software. So that is the stuff that I wanted to share with you guys on Trello today, a little bit of extra refresher and extra way of seeing how this kind of stuff can work. Any questions on any of this or any ideas that came up while I was showing that stuff? Okay. Sounds good, Stacy. Got it. Okay. And I want to take any questions anyone has about Trello, and then after that I want to answer the other questions. I know Karen had emailed in a question through the membership site where you can click on the group Q&A call question and put that in there. So in case people haven't seen that, in the membership site, there is a page. Let me get myself into the membership site. So when you go to Z&B Consulting and you go to member login, it's going to ask you to log in. And, oh gosh, what's my password? And you're going to log in. And when you log in, there are some different things. This is the free stuff. And down at the bottom here are the paid programs. So for the coaching club, monthly workshop and Q&A calls, this is where I need you guys to be coming and registering for the workshops. So July will be the next one. So we'll be putting a button up for July, and it'll say register for the workshop. And when you click that, it takes you to this form that lets you put in your name and then lets you say, are you coming to the afternoon workshop? Are you coming to the morning mastermind? And then that way I can plan for that and then anything I should be aware of. So we don't want to see that. I can do two things. I can go back or I can go to Coaching Club Maine. I'm just going to go back because I want to, apparently that took me to Coaching Club Maine. I want to show you in here that you can submit questions for the Q&A call. I encourage you, as questions come up, put them on the Facebook group like you guys have been doing, but when you think it's a good question for us to discuss on this Q&A call, or even if you're not sure, click here, and you're able to then submit your question. You put in your name, and then you put your question in here. And the more information you put, obviously, if you want to put some extra information, that helps you be able to get a better answer. So Karen did fill this form out during the course of the month when she knew that she had a question. So I believe she filled it out possibly the same day as our last call, and I didn't catch it till after. And then I think she submitted it again and possibly submitted a new question. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that's there, because those are two areas that I want to make sure that everybody is using. All right. Any questions on either of those things before I let Karen tell us what her question was, and then we'll get into Q&A. All right. Karen, tell us what your question was. And because we have a smaller, intimate group today, well, it's larger than we had last month with two people, but, you know, when I'm done answering, if there's anything you guys have to chime in, by all means, you know, we can all give Karen a little bit of question, too. while before Karen asks her question, if everybody would just take a minute, I'm going to be quiet for about a minute, everyone would take a minute and type in a question that you have. And then I will call on you in the order of how they're in there, and that'll give me an idea of how long to answer each person's question. Because if I only have two or three questions in there, we'll take longer answering someone's question. But if I know everyone has a question, I want to make sure to time that so that everybody gets to get their question answered. So take a second to either put a question or to put in, I don't have a question today, so that I know, and to put that in the chat box. Karen, you're not on the computer. That's fine, because I know you have yours. And the others are on the computer. So, Karen, we got yours, and you're going to go first. So if Michelle and Stacy and Shauna, you would just type something in there, either I don't have a question or I do have a question. And if you can put your question, great. If not, you can tell us when it's your turn.
Michelle?
Yeah.
I don't have a printed copy with me, so when you get to it, if you can just read, kind of refresh my brain or whatever, that'd be good.
Refresh your memory? Okay. That's fine. Awesome. And thank you for the text on the religious store for Stacy too. That's awesome. I will add that to our list. Okay. I have to go search and find it while people are typing, Karen. So I knew you were on the call, so I didn't print it. But that'll just take a second. While they're typing, that'll be perfect. Michelle does have a question. Awesome. Yes. Right up at the top. Okay. So Shannon and Stacy, do you have questions? Yes or no? Type them in the message thing. And while you do, I'm gonna. Stacy has a question. Yay. Shauna, do you have a question? I'll wait to get your answer, and there are four of you. Okay, great. All right, wonderful. So I'm going to put a timer on and try to get us oh my goodness. Okay. So here is Karen's question. Good question, Stacy. Any type of question. Yeah, it does not have to be Trello related. No, absolutely not. Any question you have. That's what the Q&A is for. So any question. So here's Karen's, and it will just reiterate that answer. So the question was, what question would you like me to address? What is the best way to approach a sense of beginning my business again in terms of strategy and intention to grow my business and not treat it like a hobby while doing business? 4 days ago, I'm like, what? When did Karen send this? This is the sense that I am feeling. I am losing clients due to natural causes, but not necessarily replacing them with clients who schedule regularly. Hope this question isn't too big and makes sense. So definitely not too big. We talked a little bit about this yesterday when we talked, didn't we, Karen? It's with restarting the business and the strategy, I mean, the biggest part is getting everything that's out of your head down and strategy and intention. So the intention, I think, comes to a lot of what you've already been doing, Karen. I mean, you worked with Cynthia before joining the coaching club, which was wonderful. And at that point, you knew that you wanted to stop treating your business like a hobby and to start treating it more like a business. And so you would talk to me, you talk to Cynthia, you talk to a whole bunch of other coaches to figure out who you were going to work with. And one of the things that you learned was that you needed to work on kind of setting that intention first and getting your mindset in the right place before then working on the strategy. And so you did that and did an awesome job with it. And then it came into starting to work now on the strategy part. And now you're in such a place of excitement and movement and growth, and there's all these great ideas. And so it's a matter of figuring out which ideas are the most which ideas can happen the quickest, which ones are the most profitable, which ones take more time and are going to be like planting the seed and they'll come later. And so the way we figure all that out is by getting it out of your head and kind of doing a little of what we started last week when you scheduled the one-on-one session, and we kind of looked at all the stuff that you had been brain dumping and pulled it around into Trello and made it that easy kind of in one simple to look at form, and then continuing to dump the stuff that's in your head, and then continuing to make sure you're putting that peaceful time in to continue to set the intention and to listen to where God's calling you, where God wants you to go in terms of serving people, and then to follow that, because so often we get caught up in the busyness, like Stacy's post that she had in the Facebook group, that there's so many networking meetings and going here and going there and this one-on-one with someone, and now I need to actually do my business, you know? So it's making sure to continually take that still time, which I know you've been working on and doing a good job at, and during that still time listening to where am I supposed to go next, because there's a zillion places we could all go next, and we can't do it all at once. So it's, you know, taking the time to sit and be still and taking the time to get it all out of your head and put it into a plan. And we talked yesterday because one of your other email questions to me related to this was, I'm feeling like I actually need the business and marketing plan now, and does that make sense? And that's when I called you and said, yeah, it really does, because you're at such a point of change and growth that to make sure which of these ideas are the best to go in the direction of, we need to look at everything. And we need to look at, you know, where are you trying to go and what are other people doing and how is that working out in the industry and what are your challenges going to be? So to decide out of all this stuff that you brain dumped, which one's the best one to go after first, it's hard to make that decision without having that full business and marketing plan that tells us what's the competition doing and how's the industry reacting to certain things. And so having that business plan helps with that too. And that's actually what this week's video was about, was the business and marketing plan that gets emailed out each week. So yeah, I think all the steps that you're going in, Karen, you're doing the right stuff, and you're getting it out of your head, you're getting it there, you're being peaceful, you've set the intention, and a lot of it I think sometimes is, as we're doing all this, it's so exhausting, and so we start feeling, ugh, is this worth it? Am I going the right way? Is this even happening? And you know, just by taking that step back and being quiet, you're able to realize that, yeah, okay, it's not all perfectly there yet. It's not going to all perfectly be there for a while. Sometimes it's a good year or more before you're getting into that place that you want to be, but you got to take the steps. And the steps that you're taking are really getting you to where you need to be, because you're doing the right steps, you're constantly in action, and your business is no longer a hobby. You have changed that. You've changed that intention, and we're seeing it. So any thoughts? Does a lot of that make sense? Seem good? Any other questions? Or did that answer your question?
That is good. It's good feedback and just sort of processing the thoughts, you know, like you were saying, with using the Trello tool to try to just at least get them out of my head as I'm, you know, thinking about different things instead of holding them in there and then trying to implement either, you know, action steps or if it's even feasible or not. But I tend to or at least in the past, have tended to hold on to a lot of ideas and things in my head. So I'm maybe I can make room for more things. Not that I need more things, but not have the stress of trying to remember it all or process it all or strategize it all or work it out in my head instead of out.
Absolutely. And Trello isn't the be-all, end-all either. So, you know, I'm doing a lot to show you guys how to use this as a tool because it is very simple and it is free and it does integrate very well just with life and business. But not every tool works for everyone. So if anybody is getting to the point where they're using Trello a lot and they're feeling like, yeah, this just isn't for me, don't ever feel like you have to force yourself into a tool because that's why there's so many out there. Different things work for different people. So hopefully Trello will continue to see to have you have those feelings of less stress. But if they're not and now Trello is becoming stressful, then we need to talk and we need to find a new tool that works better for you. So I just want to put that out there too. That there are other options if you ever start feeling like Trello is adding to your stress, because no one should ever feel that way.
Great, great. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Great, great question that so many people can learn from. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I will come back at the end and let, if anybody has any things they would like to share with Karen in that area, and we have some time at the end, I'll open the phones for that. But to make sure we can get to everyone's question, I'm going to go to Michelle Cusick for your question next.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So I guess my question is, because I would like to increase attendance at my event on the 27th, what else could I be doing to market and invite people that would be paying customers versus being my guest?
All right. Good question. Good question. So tell me what you've already tried.
So I have, let's see, I have a website lead page up. I have a Facebook event. I've invited lots of people to that. I created a whole workshop invite list, so I only have to do it once. I have an ad up running on Facebook. I put up a post on Twitter and LinkedIn. That's it, really. So, oh, I sent out invites in my newsletter list. Yeah, and then I made an Eventbrite event to see if that would help with the ad or people registering, because the lead page is apparently really confusing.
Where can I find the lead page? I'm going to pull it up on the screen right now. Where can I find that?
I'll send you it.
Is it, if I go to your Facebook, can I see it?
I don't know. I just sent it in the chat link.
Oh, in the chat link, perfect, because I'm like, I'm finding it in my email right now would be tough. Perfect, the chat link, imagine that.
And
okay.
I asked for it to be, like, once you click reserve your spot and enter your information, it just goes to a thank you page. So I asked my web person to link it to my PayPal link or whatever that I made, and it still hasn't been done. So I was like, okay, well, what else can I do? Because he's not answering me. So I'm now at the point of wanting to take control of both of my websites and do it myself, because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's interesting because I like when people first come here, this is what they're going to see, and it doesn't really, like, tell me this is an event because your header is so big and taking up half the page. And then, you know, as you scroll down, you see the stuff and you see, you know, more information, which is good. But that doesn't, so this comes to here and this is where they reserve their spot. This is taking them to Eventbrite or no?
No, it's just capturing their information for me and it takes them to a thank you page and that's it. So then I get an email when somebody enters their information and then have to send them an invoice.
Oh, gosh, no. So you
either
said,
or there. I just want to know how to invite people and get people to come.
Yeah. So I will answer that. The quick change for this is having this link take them directly to Eventbrite. But anyway, you probably know that. So that they're right away registering, because that's why you use things like that. You don't want those extra steps. But anyway, can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was just saying that you want to make sure that you're not having extra steps. That's why you definitely don't want extra steps. That slows down the process. You lose sales. This should immediately be taking them somewhere that's getting money. But so let's talk about ways to get people beyond the ways that you tried. So a lot of the ways you've already tried are really they're push techniques, I guess. You're like getting the information, you're pushing it out to tons of people. Mm-hmm. The best way to do things is to have these personal conversations and relationships. So I would start actively making phone calls, at least 15 minutes of phone calls a day, if not 30, since it's getting so close to an hour when you have them.
They can't hear anything you're saying.
Okay, I don't know why. Can other people hear me?
I can hear you fine, Michelle.
Okay, that's odd. Michelle, I don't know what the deal is because this always comes up with your phone. It doesn't come up with others. So, and I'm actually on my own, on my cell phone, not just on the computer because I didn't want us to have these.
All right, let me call in on my phone then.
Okay. And while you do that, I'm going to have Stacy go into her question and then I'll go into your question, answering yours after, because I have lots of ideas for you. Stacy, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so my question is related to my picker parties, my products through home parties. Hello?
Hello. Okay, I think that was Michelle getting out of one and in the other. I don't know.
Okay.
Your paper party. Got it.
So I have started to ask people to host paper parties for me. I'm asking past customers. Today I sent email messages to a few people, but I'm wondering if it is better to call or send a note in the mail. I do not love the idea of just calling, but I understand from people in the direct sales business that calling is the best way. From a personal standpoint, I would feel put on the spot if someone called me and asked me to host a party. I like the idea of at least emailing them first, and then if they do not respond, following up with a phone call. I want to be effective without being annoying.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I can totally appreciate that. You are going to get better results if you make the phone call. Like, that's what I was about to say to Michelle. Like, if you look at all the things Michelle told us for her event, none of them involved her having a personal conversation with everyone. So many times we think, oh, I'll send an email, I'll put it on social media, I'll do this, I'll do that, and the whole world will see. Well, the whole world's really busy, and we all spend so much time, you know, back to the post you made in the group the other day, I think it was yesterday, but we all spend so much time, building these relationships out at networking meetings and all of that. And then when it comes time for these sorts of things, that's when we need to capitalize on that. And so that's why we go to these things, not to meet the masses of people, but to form the relationship so that when something like this comes up, we can reach out to them. So whether it's Michelle's event or whether it's your paper parties, they're both really one and the same. And so it's reaching out to them personally. You're always going to get the best result if you reach out personally. Now, Michelle's is more time sensitive. Yours is less time sensitive. So, and with your not necessarily liking to call and thinking in your mind that that's bothering people because that's how you would feel, doing a letter first could be a good approach. So there's this whole thing called warm letters where you reach out to all those people you formed relationships with and you send them a letter or an email. Letters are more effective because people aren't used to getting nice little letters in the mail these days. You talk about that all the time, Stacey, and putting it on your nice, you know, I'm guessing you probably don't have stationery because you don't sell the stationery, but you probably could easily create an 8.5 by 11 stationery that's cute of yours. That they're getting in the mail. Do you have that? Awesome. So, you know, putting it on there and they're seeing you and it gives an opportunity to say, here's some cool stuff I've been doing lately. I'm sure you've been doing cool stuff lately too. I'd love to catch up. Like, you know, I'll be calling you in the next couple of days to catch up, you know, and just see how we can help each other. And then you kind of prime them for the phone call. You let them know what's going on. You let them know that you want to help them and have them help you and see how you can work together. That's actually how I'll be reaching out to a lot of my old contacts from my old world as I'm getting ready to reach in with them. Because that way you're forming that rapport again and you're reaching out to them again. Then when you're in that conversation, it's easy enough to say, yeah, parties are one of the things that I'm looking to do. You know, is that something, you know, do you know someone who loves doing that kind of thing? Would you be willing to do a party? And, you know, if not, do you know someone who would? And asking that way, and then it becomes more natural, and then it's a give and take, and, oh, how can I help you too kind of thing, you know? So that definitely is a good way to approach it. And, I think with the calls, too, making sure that you have different options, you know, like they can have an actual party, but if they don't like doing parties in their house, they can do something online or, you know, that sort of thing. Because some people will be fine with it, some people will not. So they're like, oh, yeah, I definitely want to do that and want to have people over, especially over the summer. I would think your people who are probably going to be more likely to do it are probably going to be people who themselves have kids, right? And their kids are using the product. So with it being summertime and a lot of these moms being home, what a cool way to say, hey, have the kids all come over and play, and I'll come over and show all the moms the different things that their kids could get for their kids, you know, and their kids can practice writing over the summer or whatever, and even you do a little class with them on how cool it is to journal, you know. If you can play that end of it up with these moms who are home over the summer, that could be kind of cool.
Okay.
You're not sold.
When you said makes sense, it does.
You just—it's out of your comfort zone,
right? You know, if I run into a person wherever, whether it's at church or at a vendor event, at a grocery store, whatever, I would have absolutely no problem doing that. But picking up the phone and calling, you know, to me that's, I don't know, it's intrusive. And
then go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What?
I said, you go ahead.
Oh, me go ahead. Well, I was going to say, that right there tells me you shouldn't do it. Because different people have, you have to play into your strengths. This is all the stuff that Allison Henderson teaches about. Like, she helps people figure out, how are you wired? And let's work within how you're wired. Let's not tell you, Stacey, make tons of phone calls to people when you in your mind think that's intrusive. Now, I would say that I was at my WOMTEC meeting yesterday, and there's a transformation coach who's in the meeting, and someone said something, and they right away are like, now that's a limiting belief. That's not necessarily true. That's just your limiting belief. So we could go down that road, but I'm not here to change your limiting beliefs. I'm here to say, if that's how you feel, don't let that hold you back, because there's many different ways you can get to that same goal. And if in your mind you're thinking, I don't think that that's the right way, then it doesn't matter. You're going to make these calls, and that energy is going to be there, and you're not going to get the results that you could be getting. Now, I love the fact that I heard you say, if you're at a vendor fair with them, or if you're at a church with them or whatever. So again, going into the things Allison teaches, we need to get you in those spaces. So your bigger goal should be getting into those spaces, which you do a good job of, and when you're in those spaces, making the ask for the party, and then giving you opportunities to have these one-on-one conversations to where you're not intrusively calling. And that's by sending out these warm letters. And then when you're in that conversation, you're in a better frame of mind and a better place where you're not feeling like you're being intrusive, and then it comes out more. So does that feel a little more natural to go with that approach instead of, I'm just going to pick up the phone and call?
It does, and that's one of the reasons that I made up those postcards. I think I may have posted one in the Facebook group, but I made up those postcards. So that I kind of will have them with me, whether I'm at the vendor at a vendor event or wherever I am, I'll just have them in my hand, have them in my handbag. If I run into somebody, I can, you know, we will just be chatting about whatever, and at some point I can bring it up and pull out a postcard.
Got it.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time. You know, what is the likelihood of me running into people at a grocery store? You know, I mean, it may happen, but it's not going to happen often. You know, vendor events, I can do it, but, you know, that's a whole different another group of people. That's more likely to be strangers, which is fine. I don't mind approaching strangers, but I think that I am more likely to get a yes from somebody who has, you know, who likes my products, because who I know likes my products because they've purchased them in the past.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm thinking, you know, even though it is outside my comfort zone, it's probably, you know, I should at least consider seriously making phone calls. And again, my direct sales friends, when they talk about how they work their business, many will say, okay, I spend this amount of time each day making however many, you know, dialing numbers. You know, I get those little slips that people fill out at previous parties or wherever, and I start working the phone. So I guess I pretty much knew the answer to my question, but, you know.
But again, don't force yourself to work in a way that you're not wired. So I would say the other thing you just said in there that was really key is reaching out to people who have purchased your products before. And I think it's okay reaching, you said you started calling them. So you said that in your Facebook post, I think. So what I think it's okay to these people to send them in the mail your postcard and the postcard about the party, in addition to the letter saying, hey, you're going to be calling them. You know, because if they see the postcard and then you're able to say, you know, I know you love my products. I'm looking for people to host parties. There's some great benefits I've built in. I'm going to give you a call to see if you're interested or know someone else who is. And that way you're at least not just picking up the phone and calling them, but you're doing they're getting a heads up through the postcard, and you're right, they're going to be more likely to do that having purchased your products before. So I think you need to start getting out of that comfort zone with it, but I think it's okay to not just, even though that's what the direct selling people do, remember, you're not a direct selling person. And there's a reason you're not a direct selling person, because it takes a certain wired person to be like that. Don't be hard on yourself and think, well, I know they're effective this way, so I should be. You can still do some of those tactics, but adapt them to work within the way you're wired, and feel okay about that. Don't ever let yourself feel bad that, oh, I should. The should is just not a good word. So, sound good?
Yep.
Awesome. So let's shift to Michelle. Michelle, you're on the phone, right?
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of the same stuff, as I was saying, it's that picking up the phone. I think the difference here is, as I said, you're in a time-sensitive, really urgent thing. And Stacy is more in a, I don't have to have a party tomorrow. You know, I want to start planting the seeds and working this process. So planning, the other thing I was going to say to Stacy for a suggestion is a lot of the things that you mentioned, Michelle, that you've done, like created the Facebook lead page for it and created an invite and done the ad on Facebook and putting posts on Twitter and things like that. Those are all the little kind of things, Stacy, that you can do that will prime people for being ready for a phone call and getting the right people to come out because you're not in a time-sensitive place. But when we're using that, Michelle, for something more like this that's time sensitive, we have to accelerate the process by being more picking up the phone. Like Jen Begeisky will always talk about how from the beginning she'd be doing early in her business an event like this. And she would be saying a lot of the same things that you said. I'm a couple weeks away, I have no one who's interested, or I have no one signed up, and you didn't say that, but you know, I need to get more people signed up, and it's a couple weeks away, and what the heck do I do? And I would always say, pick up the phone. And so she'll constantly tell that story to people now that, you know, I would tell her, pick up the damn phone. And because she'd say, well, this person said they were interested, but they didn't click they're coming on my Facebook thing. And it's like, well, there's a million things going on in their world. They might not have seen your Facebook thing. Or Facebook might not have even shown it to them because of all the different algorithms. And more, those of us who do networking and meet tons of people, we have so many friends on there that Facebook can only show us so much. There's only so much space on there, and then we're only on it so often. So more and more, there's things that you're not going to see, you know. So that's where picking up the phone really makes sense. And I think when you get to this point, Michelle, it's picking up the phone with people who can get other people there. So when I had the event 2 weeks ago, I had 5 people, I think, from my Facebook event who signed up over and above those who are in the coaching club. And I first put the event out a week before, and I then picked up the phone to people who I knew had said, oh, I'm interested in this. So I picked up the phone. And I also picked up the phone to people who I knew had other people that they could tell, and I encouraged them. And so then, you know, they're bringing their people too. So you spent a lot of time capitalizing on relationships in these past few months. So it's reaching out to those people who know tons of people, having phone calls, asking them to share, asking them to invite people. And just working it that way, you know, are you going to be there? I would really love your support. I think it would be great. And not feeling like you have to offer them a free ticket, you know. Now, to that point, we don't want to be the kind of people that every time our event comes up, that's the only time we're calling people. So that's why it's important when you're in a mode like Stacy we just talked about to be just keeping in touch with people. And not because that's when you're in a situation now like you are, Michelle, where you have an event coming up close and you make that, hey, I really would love to have you there call. It's not like, oh, that's the only time Michelle calls, you know. So it's, you know, it's balancing that. So that's going to be your most effective way is getting on the phone, picking up the phone. The other thing that I did to get the other people there is a couple days before, I looked at all the people who had said interested, and I sent them Facebook messages and said, hey, I noticed you're interested. We'd love to have you here. Here's the registration link. Please get registered. And out of that, I had like two or three people who had that day signed up. And there was one person who ended up coming that I had to keep in contact with them like daily to make sure that they finally did register, because I knew they wanted to come, but they had a lot going on. And so that's the kind of work that if you're wanting 30 people in there, that has to be done at this point. I'm trying to think of others. So you said tell me about what you're doing with the Facebook ad. How much are you doing, and how many people is it saying it's reaching?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Because that would be the other, you know, sometimes those are helpful, sometimes they're not. It's, you know, I think the more you can narrow down who that boosted post is going to, the more effective your results will be. So that's one of the things that comes to mind. I'm trying to think. The other thing is, like, people who are at, who are in contact with your people, you know, reaching out to them and asking them to invite people. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
In the case of if it was just you were looking for people who have gone through abuse, you know, counselors who have dealt with people who are abused, or, you know, that kind of thing, like reaching out to them, reaching out to churches, anyone that has a big list that you can reach out to and have them get your information out on their big list. That's a good thing. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the most effective is always picking up that phone and having those conversations with people and saying, who do you know? You know, not just necessarily them, but who do you know that could benefit from this? I'm really looking to impact a lot of people. Other people have some ideas while I'm still thinking of some others that come to mind. I think, Michelle, the other thing that's just really coming to mind, I'm sure you got this part already handled, but it's leaving it up to God, you know, the whole, like, just being at peace, making sure you're setting that intention. The people who are supposed to be there are going to be in that room. So, like, my coach, the last couple times she's been trying to fill a room kind of thing, you know, she shared with me her approach, and a lot of it has been some of the things I've already shared, but you know, she sits there, she sets the intention, she keeps coming back to the intention each day, knowing that the people who are meant to be there are meant to be there, and then just works that phone constantly with a, you know, who do you know that could benefit from this? I'd love to have you here. Who else do you know? And encouraging people to come, you know, and it happens, you know. I mean, she's getting filled rooms with that approach. So, you know, I'm sure those are the things that you're already doing, but that's part of the puzzle too. Like, you know, I had mentioned to Karen earlier. The only other thing, and I haven't gotten into a lot of this to know if it would work or not either, but a lot of times with this kind of event, one of the things I would do for bigger places would be radio ads and things like that, and that's not what I was going to suggest. But, you know, it's a little different when we're working with Up Entrepreneurs than when I'm working with a nonprofit organization or a daycare or something like that. But a lot of like Google ads, kind of like the Facebook ads. I know people get great response from the Google ads and Google AdWords. So I don't know, you know, if you're wanting to invest some money in trying to get people there, that's a good way to do it. But yeah, I mean, when you're looking at grassroots and free, I think you've tried a lot of the stuff, and it's just bringing to life all the things that you've done, you know, like bringing the personal touch now to all of the electronic stuff that's been put out there and mm-hmm. getting stuff out. I mean, the one thing you didn't mention that I know people do sometimes is like flyers out to different coffee shops and churches and things like that. Like a lot of times when I would do events for the Y, we would take flyers and ask the churches to put them in their bulletins or, you know, things like that. So, you know, are there places that distribute to the masses on a regular basis that you can get included in that distribution or you can put something out, you know, kind of thinking of where those places are.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's really where it's going to be. It's going to be in the one-on-one phone calls with people and really thinking of who those people are that you know that have big lists and can reach out to tons of people. And, you know, the other thing you could possibly think about, too, that sometimes people do is, you know, a lot of the people that you know that have bigger teams, like network marketing teams and stuff, being able to say, hey, if you bring out a team of X number of people, I will come to your next team rah-rah thing and do a little talk, you know. And then the other thing is, you know, prior to a future one, getting into those, you know, doing a lot of those free talks and giving away a free ticket to get people in there too, you know, on the pre-hand for future events to kind of add that to your strategy. And that's where if we go back to Trello, you guys, in the workflow, you may remember, I'm going to go back to Karen's board really quick, but in this workflow here for in the promotion, it was, you know, create the material, add it to the site, include it in the newsletter, share on Facebook, share it on LinkedIn, you know, share it with the power partners, whatever. But that's where as you figure out what's working, when you're promoting this particular event, you want to remember those things, and you want to put it into a workflow. Same thing with you, Stacey, as you're finding out what works with the different things you're going to approach with these parties, get that into a workflow so that every time it's time to do something, you follow that same process, especially, Michelle, for you, because this won't be the first time you're trying to promote a workshop, you know, so it's paying attention to what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, very cool. Well, keep us posted on how the different things are going in the Facebook group. And if, you know, things need to be tweaked, just reach out in the Facebook group. This is, you know, this part's working here, but this part's not working here. And what ideas do people have? And whenever you guys are posting something in the Facebook group, if there's something special you want me to respond to, make sure to tag me. So that I can see that, because sometimes when there's a volume of things, I'm not able to respond to all of them, but I will to the ones where people tag me in, because I know they want my response, but sometimes all of your responses aren't much different than what I would say, so I kind of pick and choose sometimes if you guys have done a great job of answering each other. All right, well, we are at 3:10, and the calls end between 3 and 3:30. So before we wrap up, is there anything else that anyone is looking for? Some Shauna, did you have something? You never responded yes or no in the thing, and I see you did get back on. Did you have a question?
No, I do not have a question.
All right.
Let's say I don't have any questions yet.
Yeah. I was saying, that means you and I have been talking way too much lately, ma'am. Means we answered a lot of the questions when we were on the phone yesterday, I think, or will, we're on the phone more tomorrow. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, does anybody else have anything before we close the call up?
Well, I'll just share one little piece. When we talk about making phone calls and how difficult it is sometimes to pick up the phone call and feel like you're asking, for business or whatever. But this morning I was driving from one meeting to another, and I just decided I was going to call some people that have been massage clients that I haven't seen in quite some time. And so I called 4 different clients, and nobody answered, but I just left messages and just said, you just popped into my brain, and so I just thought I'd call and see how you're doing and hope things are going well and be well and give me a call. And just, kind of a short message and just kind of put it out there. So I didn't give any details about kind of what's going on or anything like that, but it was sort of getting over that hurdle of picking up the phone and actually making the call and feel like you're asking for business. So I was happy that I did it after I did it.
That's awesome, Karen. I'm so proud of you for doing that. And that brings up such a great point. And so in your Trello here, to create a board of people that you left that kind of message with, because then what you'll want to do is in a couple weeks, if they haven't called you, maybe it's 2 weeks, maybe it's 3 weeks, but you'll want to call them back, and you'll want to then at that point say, hey, I'm doing lots of really cool new stuff. I'd love to share it with you, and or send them something in the mail, and then, let's set up a call time kind of thing. I'm sending something in the mail, keep your eye out for it, but you planted the seed for a second phone call is my point. And so capture those names of those people on a board here of people that you've called so that you're able to remember to call them again later, which will be very cool. That's awesome. And
it'll be interesting to see if anybody responds and how they respond. So I'll keep you updated.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, people are busy, right? So you may, you may get 1 of the 4 that respond, or you may get none of the 4 that respond. And the thing we have to remember is that if none of them responded, we still made an impact. You did. You still made an impact just by them hearing your voice. Because them not responding doesn't mean they're not interested in you or what you have to offer. It just means their life isn't letting them respond right now, and that's okay, So feeling good still, even if you don't get a response from them, that you made an impact and you touched their life with the joy in your voice, and that's really cool. And remembering, like you said at the very start when you started telling us about all this, when we call, we're calling out of service. We're not calling because, I want a sale. So, Michelle, whether it's with your workshop or Stacy with your parties that you're trying to do, and Shauna with the people you're trying to get in, and Karen, with your stuff too, we're not trying to sell people. That's not the way any of us are. We're trying to make people's lives better and to let them know that we're there as an option for that. So when we realize that before we get on the call, it makes that call so much easier, because then the people that God really wants to connect us to, we're there for them. And especially when we, before any of those tasks, take time to be still and to say, God, who is it that you're wanting me to reach out to today? Who am I supposed to be helping? What am I supposed to be doing to carry out your work? And then he guides you to who those people are and to the difference that he wants you to be making. So, when we can be still, that comes out even more. But it's so hard for us sometimes to remember that, we want to all pay our bills, and, we have bills piling up, but it's not why any of us do what we do. Our bills are always second nature. Helping people are first. And when we make that call, remembering that we're calling to serve people, not to sell them. So awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Karen. Anything else anyone wanted to share? Any suggestions anyone wanted to give to anyone from their questions?
The only thing I thought of is with Michelle is, in the networking and stuff that she's doing, maybe what
Is she highlighting the workshop, or how is she maybe, you know, bringing it to light?
I don't understand the question. Am I bringing it out?
Well, when you're
like when you were at the co-op event the other night, like what are you doing when you're actually there to bring that out? Is that what you mean, Karen?
Yes.
I don't know.
I was not at that event.
Okay. Well, another event when you're at your polka dot thing or
polka dot's done.
You know, polka dot's over?
I stepped down.
Oh, I did not know that.
And that's I guess the other thing too. I don't really know what are my best networking events to spend time at.
That's probably a whole topic for all of us to talk about.
I was just thinking that. That could be a good topic for next month's group Q&A call is networking. And actually, I think, I got to look in the workshop topics, but I think that may be one of the workshop topics for this summer. It may even be next month. So I'm making a note of that so I can check. I think the one coming up next month is actually on, I think it's on like collaborations. And part of what I wanted to bring in there was networking. Like what are the best places, yes, collaborations and key partners. And part of that is networking. Are you making the most of your network and all of that? So yes, I will make sure to build that whole topic into the workshop next month. So thank you for planting that seed, Michelle.
Sure.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, anybody who happens to have a free night tonight and wants to stop by Rasmussen for some open Trello lab time, feel free to stop by. I will be there along with Shauna and along with Renee. And, yeah. We'll be there. So if you're thinking about it and want to start doing some more Trello stuff, just shoot me a text or a Facebook message and let me know to expect you. That's about it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, you guys. Have a great rest of your week. And I will post this recording in the where you'll be able to find it is in the membership site. You can come in here. So May, you can click here, and you can see the workshop, and here's the handouts, here's the slides, here's the meditation, and the files from the Q&A from last month. So we'll be creating the same thing for June, and you'll be able to see the Q&A call and the workshop as well. So normally they're posted by the Wednesday morning of the week after. I do not have the June workshop posted yet because it was the Trello training, and I didn't want to post anything too overwhelming. So I was looking to kind of revisit those materials for you guys before posting them. So that's why that wasn't posted yet. But normally they're posted by the Wednesday morning after. And that's about it. So that's where you can find this recording when it's up there, and I will make sure you guys know in the Facebook group when it's there too. So have a great rest of your week, and I'll see you guys. It's July 7th, so it's a little bit into July since the 1st is on a Friday. So I will see you on the 7th, and have a great 4th of July if I don't see you guys sooner.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
thank you.